Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Am I on to Uju Olivia?
Yes, yeah, this is me.
Uju, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Brilliant. How are you too?
Not too bad. So this is Epo. I decided we were going to pursue this particular story because it's really painful. It's pretty much what has been happening in Nigeria, where we come from. Accountability is not available, so people abuse their positions, you know, so it's very, very sad. With this particular case, I was so troubled because it was almost as though the gentleman just vanished and nobody could trace him. But first off, you just tell me exactly, because we would make an audio of this and put it on our cultural website and our news website.
Okay.
And see how far we go with it. Yeah, because I'm very much invested in this particular case, and hopefully at some point this will become something that will be rare in Nigeria. It's really painful. So tell me exactly, introduce yourself and how you are related to the particular gentleman, the missing gentleman, and take it from there. You know, what he was doing, was he born in Lagos, what he was doing, and, you know, the whole incident, very important things, and how far you've gone with the authorities as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. My name is Ujumu Olivia. As you already know, I'm from Anambra State. The missing person is my uncle, my mom's lastborn. Their family, the lastborn of the family.
Right.
So my mom is from Achala, in Okanot local government of the same Anambra State. So this is my uncle. He was not born in Lagos or anything. He was born here in the East.
All right, quick question.
He lived here.
Hold on, love.
Yeah.
Quick. What is his name? I'm using East, hoping that he's still here with us. Yeah. So what's his name?
Yes. His name is Afame Funa Innocent Ozemena.
Okay. And as at the time of the, you know, when he got missing, how old was he then?
He should be around 26. He was born in 1990.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine. All right. Go on. So your mom is, you were talking about your mom just leading up to, you know, giving us a background of your family. Go on.
Yeah. So Afame Funa Ozemena is from Achala in Okanot local government area of Anambra State.
Mm-hmm.
He was also born here in the East, raised here in the East. But in 2019, late 2018, around November or December, he said he wanted to move to Lagos. Another of my mom's sisters live in Lagos. That one senior one person before the AFAM.
Okay.
So AFAM said he wanted to go and stay with her so that he can look for jobs, other opportunities, that he doesn't want to stay in the village anymore. So we all agreed, we contributed money, we gave him. And then in November or December of 2018, he moved to Lagos. And he was staying with that my aunt in Aja. Everything was okay. And he got a job. Now, in trade fair markets in Lagos, the chief security officer then of the market was also from Achala, a man from Achala. His name was his name is Mr. Edwin Imukulu. He is from Achala as well. So because of the fact that Afam also came from Achala, now this Mr. Edwin, he was the CSO of the market. And because of the position he held, he was now overseeing all the offloads that were happening in the market. If your goods come in, he will supply you boys that will help you offload your goods.
What does CSO mean?
Chief Security Officer of the Trade Fair Market.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Go on.
Yes. So because of the position he occupies, he now oversees offloading, loading of goods. So anytime your goods come into the market, he will supply you boys to do the offloading. And then you will pay him. He will now pay the boys. So this was what my uncle was doing for him. My uncle was one of the boys doing the offloading then in the market.
Okay.
So everything was okay. And then there was this contribution they do with the man. a monthly contribution thing that every month it will be one person's turn to take. The upper month, another person will take. So my uncle was part of this contribution.
Do you know how many people were involved in this? I think I understand what you're saying. The normal African sort of like, you know, save up and one person takes it. So do you know how many people were involved and how much was the standard amount each person was getting? You have any idea? If you don't know, it doesn't matter. Go on.
We had no idea about the amounts, because how we got to learn of this whole money issue was that one day around February, there was a fight in that trade fair market, not involving my uncle directly. The fight was between two other guys that were also working for this CSO. So according to my uncle, the way this settled the matter offended him, because can you hear me?
No, I lost you there. Could you take it a little back? So they were fighting. I think we lost you from there.
Yes. In February 2019, there was a fight in that trade fair market involving two of the boys that were serving the CSO. Now, one of those boys that fought was my uncle's friend. The other one wasn't a friend. So it didn't go well with my uncle the way their boss settled the matter. And my uncle was a very outspoken person. So he confronted their boss and told him that the way you settled this issue, it was wrong. You sided the wrong person because you're closer to him. This was wrong. So the man was very offended. He was like, why would you disrespect me openly like that? Why would you say such a thing to me? And he fired my uncle on the spot. So he told my uncle he was fired to leave the premises. My uncle refused to leave. My uncle said, you have to give me the money I contributed. It is my turn to take. I should have taken this February. So if you want me to leave the premises, give me the money that is due me, because I contributed when it was other people's turn to take. The man refused and warned him to leave the premises. My uncle left. But every day, my uncle kept coming back. That was when my aunt now called my mom and was begging my mom to please call my uncle if he was going to listen to her and beg her to please stop going, that this man is threatening to make him disappear. That the man is threatening that he will get him arrested and he will never be seen again.
What's the name of the man again? What's the name of the man?
Edwin Ibokulu. Okay. I will send you a Word document after this call.
All right.
That has... Yes.
Okay.
So, my mom called my uncle that February and was asking my uncle what happened. My uncle narrated everything, how the fight happened, how the boss was not a fair judge, how that he's not going to stop going there unless the man pays him his money. My mom pleaded with him and said, don't worry about the money. I'm going to give it to you, but stop going there. My uncle refused and said, the man cannot eat his sweat like that. So he refused. He kept going. But at some point, we learned from his friends, after he comes in, that at some point he stopped. He stopped going to the market, but that there was a spot around that market that he used to hang around with boys. You know, all these joints where boys will stay and they will be smoking.
Right.
He was not hanging around there. And then this man, you came again and you warned him that you don't want to see him even in that joint. That you don't want to be seeing him at all. So my uncle was like, I am no longer coming into the markets. I am now hanging around here. There is no way you can stop me from hanging with my friends. The man said he has warned him. And that was all. Then one random day like that, that was May 19th. Those group of boys, they were there, that building where they used to hang out.
Would you, sorry, May 19th, 2019, right?
Yes, oh, yes.
Okay, go on.
So that May 19th, the boys were there. My uncle was there as well. The police came there. They had a picture. So they were looking for somebody specific. They looked at the picture that they had and they went straight for my uncle. Because according to some of the boys we talked to, that were willing to talk to us back then, because many of them were afraid. They were like, if it was a genuine police raid, some of them were smoking weed there. They would have carried everybody. That's how they do. But at that day, that the police came just for my uncle. So they arrested him that May 19th, and they took him away. We started searching for him. Somebody called my aunt that day, but when she went to the police station, they said that Threadfare police station, they denied that he was there. It was not the people around that area that said that what was written on the police van was police station Aboju. There's a place called Aboju. So they now told my aunt to go to that Aboju, that the van that took him away had Aboju on it. So my aunt reached out to us. Their first son, another of my uncle, started going to Lagos immediately. This was less than a week after he was arrested. So when my uncle got there, he went to the Aboju. He told them this was who he was looking for, and they were very hostile. They were like, leave this place. What are you doing here? Get out from this place. Who is that person you're looking for? That person is not here. They pushed my uncle outside.
The officers there. The officers there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They were very harsh. It was now one woman, a woman police officer, that approached my uncle and told my uncle to find her something. Let her help him. So my uncle now gave her some money. She now took him back inside and calmed her colleagues down. So they brought out the register. They have a register where they write the names of people they arrested and everything. On the register, my uncle saw the name of my other uncle that was arrested. His name is Afamefuna. But the person that spelled it didn't. It was as if the person that was writing it was slurring it. It was not correctly spelled. We suspected that it was my uncle that wrote it. But we were told that the day they arrested him, they beat him up so badly that some of the people around there were doubting that he was alive from the beginning. He was beaten so badly. So when my uncle saw the way the name was written, it was written like somebody who was not okay.
Okay.
So, yes, the date on the register was that same May 19th. 2019, and he was shown some of the things recovered from him. My uncle that was arrested, he loved rings. He had some peculiar looking ones. He was a fan of rings. So when they showed up, my other uncle with the ring, he recognized his ring immediately. But then when he now asked them, who is the officer in charge, the IPO of the case, he was pointed to one Inspector Toba.
Inspector,
he waited for
who?
The man. When the man, Toba.
Do you know the
that
full
was
name?
What was written on his,
just Inspector
no,
Toba.
No, we don't know.
All right.
Yes, that was what was written on his name tag. So the man was very hostile. I was like, I'm no longer this.
Hello.
Out of here, he was very, very hostile. So he told my uncle to go to Threadfare. To go to Threadfare at Oshodi and look for my uncle. That's where my uncle would be.
So, Inspector Toba was in charge of his arrest, or your uncle was handed to him?
I think my uncle was handed to him. He was the IPO in charge of my uncle's case.
All right. In Aboju, yes. Did you say it's Aboju, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So did he confirm to your uncle who was right on the spot? He confirmed to him that they've taken him to Oshodi. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
He confirmed to my uncle that yes, he was arrested, but that he was no longer with them. That he was sent to Oshodi, the Threadfare office there. So when my uncle was like wondering what is the relation between police station Aboju and then Oshodi. But when my uncle got to the Threadfare office, it was at Threadfare that he learned that they had makeshift lawyers. that when people were arrested, whether for peeing on the road, for not crossing, using the pedestrian crossing, no matter what your offense is, if nobody comes for you within 1 or 2 weeks, they judge you there and send you to prison. So by the time my uncle came, they also acknowledged that, yes, this person was here, but that he's no longer there. But what now they cannot provide was the exact prison he was sent to. They told my uncle to go and search around that they don't know, they don't keep record of those things.
These officers in Oshodi started, confirmed to your uncle that they had him in their custody, but next step they are not sure of.
Yes, okay. That he must have been sent to one of the prisons, that they don't keep record of those things, okay. That they don't have a cell here, mm-hmm. That anybody that is not released by their family people, that they would judge and send him to prison or her.
Okay.
So my other uncle started going from prison to prison, from prison to prison, but couldn't find him. Now,
would you?
My uncle went to Badagry prison.
Would you?
Yes.
Quick question. The next spot where they had him in detention, the Oshodi one, they were serving as a detention place and a judging place. Is that it? Is it a police place or a court?
It was just, you know, all these task force offices.
All right.
It was, yes. So they have a makeshift cells that they keep people that were not meant to be kept there more than a few hours, because they used to arrest people with minor offenses. Maybe you threw trash on the road or you peed on at the wrong place. They will take you. When you pay money, they release you back.
Okay, I get your point. I think I know what you're saying. All right, go on. Go on to the other side.
So now my uncle searched Ikoyi prison, Kirikiri, minimum and maximum. He searched Badagry. But what he didn't know after that 2019 was that Badagry had a P ward upstairs. He didn't know that there was a whole different, another ward upstairs. He didn't check there, that 2019. So we searched and searched. We couldn't find him. The case just died, that 2019. In 2020, during NSAS, I brought it up on Twitter and then on Facebook as well. We searched and searched, but it did not gain so much traction until 2024. Because in April 2024, somebody that was also from Achana, that spent 12 years in Badagry prison, was released. He was actually released in March 2024, but he got to the village in April 2024. The first place he came, the moment he returned to the village, was my mom's family house. When the guy came, the moment he saw my other uncle, the first son, he said, yeah, it's true. You both look like twins. You both look alike so much that I saw your brother. I was with your brother at Badagry prison. Please, you people should go and release him. He said he did not do anything. So my uncle called my mom immediately. We called my aunt in Lagos. This news was coming to us, I think, on the 13th. That day was a Saturday. It was already late. So the next day, being Sunday, my aunt that was in Lagos started going to Badagry immediately. She bought fruit, she carried food, she carried so much, because imagine the number of years that has passed. We were so excited. So when my aunt got there, she spoke to the people at the gates and said, this is who I am looking for. They said, do you have a picture of this person? My aunt said, yes. She showed them the picture, and the officer she was speaking to said, yes, I remember this guy, but he is among those that was moved to Kirikiri earlier this year. We became tired, like every other person we spoke to. Mind you, before I came on Twitter, that 2024, my aunt has gone to the prison on Sunday. She was sent to Kirikiri. She went to Kirikiri. She was told that nobody like this existed. She went back to Badagry. The officers, those same officers that saw his picture and admitted that he was there as of early 2024, now said that this person was never with them.
So they denied.
That was when I decided. Yes, they denied. That was when I came on Twitter. I wrote about it. I started spamming people's posts with the link. It went viral. A lot of people started indicating interest. So many influential people started putting mouth. So many lawyers volunteered to work on the case pro bono. So it was now some of the lawyers that were assigned to go back to Badagry. So they went back to Badagry and spoke to the officers. The report that they brought back was that the officers had something to hide. That at some point they admitted that this guy was here, but later they denied when they realized they were lawyers. That something big is going on with this case. So they asked me to, I wrote so many petitions to the correctional, Lagos State Correctional Centers, to Kirikiri. I wrote to Badagry. I wrote to Lagos State Commissioner of Police. I wrote to the DPO in charge of that Amoju. I wrote to Minister of Interior. I wrote to the Inspector General of Police. Everybody, every hands was on deck, but at the end of the day, nothing came out of it. The case just died back down because we searched. There was somebody, the guy that told us initially that he was a Badagry, told us the name of his cellmates, that we should be asking of that his cellmate, that the guy will know him.
The cellmate in Badagry, the cellmate in Badagry while he was there, right?
Yes, the cellmate of my uncle in Badagry, that he knew the cellmate, he knew my uncle. That if they deny that he was there, we should ask of the cellmate. So, when my aunt initially went there, she also asked of the cellmate. The officer said that yes, these two were transferred to Kirikiri Maximum Prison earlier in the year. But do you know, when we went to Kirikiri, his cellmate was there.
Still there?
Yes, the cellmate was there, but my uncle was not there. So they said we had to get permission, written permission, in order to speak with the guy. We did all we had to do. We got access to the guy. But by the time we got access to him, he said he doesn't know my uncle. But the problem is that as of that time, my uncle really took pictures. So the picture of him we had, he was looking way, way, way younger. So we felt that the cellmate didn't recognize him. But I feel that if it is somebody you spent years in prison with, you should be able to say, yes, this person looks like this person. But the guy said he had no idea. So everything just died naturally because we did not see him. So that is where we are. Since that 2024 till now, there has been no progress at all.
So you guys were able to at least get to the tail end, which is the last place he was found was in Kirikiri, and there was someone who you were told knew him. Right, and then you met the person, and the person, it seemed as if he was coerced to deny, right?
Yes, okay. But mind you, even when the lawyers went to that Badagry, they admitted that my uncle was there. But on their records, my uncle was not there. We talked to a correctional officer here in Anambra, and she said that such things happen when somebody influential is dealing with somebody, that they just keep you in a prison and forget you there. There will be no official records of you.
And what?
So, even in Kirikiri, there was no official record that he was brought there. They denied that he was brought there. But Badagry people said he was moved before they now denied that he was even there in the first place.
All right. Uju, quick question. I'm trying to form some sort of visual of what is going on. I'm from Nigeria, so I think I have a sense of what has happened. The highest person in Badagry that you guys met, the highest, officer there, did you know the person's name?
No, I don't know. But I still have our WhatsApp group is still active. I can go get all the reports and forward them to you. Okay. I compiled some of them into a Word document that I will still send to you.
Okay. All right. And also with regards to, because you guys eventually made your search got you to Kirikiri, the highest placed officer there, whilst you made contact, do you know the person's name?
I don't know the person's name.
Okay.
I don't know the person's
name. All right. And quickly, the man who we are suspecting engineered this whole chaos, the guy from Achala, the one at the trade fair, what's his name again?
Edwin Ibukulu.
Okay, and he's still in Lagos, he's still at the trade fair, right?
Yes, I'll have to confirm that and get back to you. Okay. And it is worthy to know that my uncle won't be the first boy to disappear under this man.
I wouldn't think so. For someone to be that devilish, clearly it's something that they've been doing for quite a while, right?
Some of the people who worked under him that we spoke to, they were so afraid to say anything. Because there are boys who served under him and were able to escape. Those ones are so afraid because they said the man is very occultic.
Okay.
Nobody. Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So the man lives in Lagos. The man has family in Lagos. Are you aware of his background, his family? Does he have kids? Do you know?
Yes, he has kids. He has a wife. He has children.
And they are all in Lagos, right?
Yes, they are there.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, nothing else. But if I remember anything
that
I see, I forgot. I will let you know.
Okay. No, that's fine. We are going to try as much as possible. We would make a headway when we work together as a family, as a village. Because I'm not from your place, but I got told by friends about it. And I just have a little platform. So we are going to just try our possible best, all right, to see what's going on. So what I'm suspecting is because of how Nigeria is at the moment, the man is just wielding his weight and trying to punish your uncle. That's really what's going on. All right. So we'll try as much as possible to see who we can speak to, those in power who can override him. And eventually bring him to book because this is a criminal act as well.
In that 2019, when my uncle was still going to that his trade fair, this man called my aunt, and my aunt was the one that went, not him calling her, to beg him to please settle my uncle so that he can go. This man told my aunt that her brother is too stubborn, that she should agree, let him arrest him so that his head will cool. So it's not something that happened out of the blue. He talked to my aunt about it, that he wants to arrest him. My aunt was pleading with him then in his office. But even when lawyers reached out to him in 2019, he denied involvement. Okay. And referred us to his lawyer. Yes.
Okay. So, but this your aunt, it wasn't on phone. It was live in person that he made the threat to her that he was going to arrest your uncle, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Anyway, tell you what, we will go with the little, evidence and informations we have. We will put it on our cultural website, our news website. Any and every person we know with influence and clout, we will get involved on the case. Your uncle will come out. Don't worry. All right? Don't worry about it. All right, my love. You take care. So I'll be looking out for your documents, the one you want to send to us. And then when we construct and, make an article about it, put it on the website, we will show you the link on the website so you're able to see it, including the call we're having now, the audio, so people can hear it. It will be on the website as well, yeah?
No problem. Thank you so much.
We thank the ancestors because this deep, we cannot continue like this. Would you take care? Don't think so much. Your uncle is fine. All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right, my love. Take care. We'll talk later then. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.